Welcome to another edition of the Hick Chick Chat on PrecisionPays.com. I'm Leah Guffey, your host and the Hick Chick. Tractors and planters have been greased. They're starting to roll along the countryside. You can start smelling that fresh dirt being turned over. It really is a great time, and spring is definitely in the air. At a recent BASF event, I had a chance to catch up with some growers from three distinct areas. We'll start with an area that I'm most familiar with. It's right here in central Illinois. TJ Shambaugh is from my home area, and alongside his dad and his son, farm about 2,000 acres by Decatur, Illinois.
All right, TJ, I want you to tell me a little bit about your operation. I think it's an awesome deal that you and your dad have going on there.
Well, it's not just me and dad. I got my son involved, too. He's 29, and it can be a lot of fun, you know, trying to manage three type A personalities all at the same time. But, you know, that's why we bring Jeremy in a little bit, because he kind of tones us all down. He'll come out and tell us which one of us didn't think in the right way. Yeah, he has a little bit harder trouble with dad because dad barks back a little louder than the rest of us do. But I'm more like mom. I'm not quite as boisterous as the other two. But we got basically a grain farm and just outside of Decatur, on the east side of Decatur, and we're growing commercial yellow corn, non-GMO corn, non-GMO soybeans.
Tell me about how many acres you've got there, and I know you make a lot of the front-end decisions. Dad does some of the other decisions, and where's the boy fit into all this?
Okay. We're farming about 2,000 acres. We've been at that level for, 20, 25 years. Haven't really grown much. We've picked up some outside stuff we do on the side. Got an excavating business. My son's got a tiling business. He started that up about 5 years ago. He's just been covered up the past few years. He does that along with helping us on the farm, too. When I got out of college back in 82, I came back to the farm. I started doing most of the day-to-day stuff. I make all the input decisions. I let dad, he comes in, he still runs a combine every year. He's been doing that ever since then, too. And he takes care of all the marketing.
Combine driving is one of my favorite things to do, so I kind of tend to go with your dad there a little bit. But so tell me a little bit about how important it is, you know, to take a look at your inputs and your precision parts of all that. There's a lot more going into with these wacky weather situations we've had.
Right. I guess I was always been fortunate enough that both my grandfather and my dad, you know, which is where most of my background comes from, were never encumbered by being forced to do it the same way we did it last year. Actually, probably my father, who's 77, is more computer literate than I am. He's on Facebook. I'm not. Don't ever care to be. But so, you know, it's. For us to, you know, look at new ideas and adopt new challenges, you know, that's just something we've always done. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Sometimes you can get out there and get cut off behind you, but it's just something we've always prided ourselves in, I guess.
One of the things I found interesting when we were talking earlier is, you know, when you work with Jeremy a lot from BASF and doing things, you made some decisions to kind of change things up, and maybe you're going to plant beans a little earlier this next year.
Actually, we're not only going to plant beans a little earlier this year, we're actually planting more beans this year than we've ever planted before. That really wasn't a Jeremy decision. That was a budgeting decision. But we've seen, as we've started to try and move up our planting date, we've been picking up yield. And so I know last year for a fact, when we had a month delay between the first beans we planted and the last beans we planted, you know, there was a 4 or 5 bushel yield difference. So we're going to try and move our bean planting up to, you know, mid-April, 20th of April, somewhere in there. We're going to try and get them all planted.
How important is it to have a good relationship with an agronomist? I mean, we're not talking specifically whether it's your local extension guy or maybe the person you listen to on the radio. Or how important is it to gather all of that information and knowledge?
Well, since I got an ag econ degree, I don't know much about agronomy. So it's really important for me to have somebody that I can rely on. And since we do still put on all our own inputs, whether it's fertilizer, pesticides, herbicides, whatever, it's important for me to have somebody that I can trust and talk to about the different products and and what's available out there that would fit into my operation the best. And Jeremy's been, even though he is, you know, officially tied with somebody because he works for him, he's been a really good sounding board on what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing.
Alex Rock is from Northeast Colorado, Ray, Colorado to be exact. Well, they do things a little bit different in Northeast Colorado than they do in Central Illinois. I'll let Alex tell you all about that.
I come from a feedlot background. We feed beef cattle for meat production, for slaughter, and then also a dairy heifer development program for dairy in Iowa. We farm irrigated and dry land, circle pivot irrigation. We're around that 7,000 acres with an additional 2,500 or so custom farming. We grow corn, wheat, millet, sunflowers, soybeans, and alfalfa in a rotational mix there.
And one of the, you know, things that has been a huge topic, it's been one for you, it's been one for growers across the country. Last year's growing season was not really, well, people didn't know really what to expect. Things turned out okay in the end, it seemed, for everyone. How does that set you up for going into 2014? Well, and you've already got some of your wheat crop in.
Exactly. And actually, last year for our wheat crop, last year was probably the worst crop we've had in a long time. Everything else did turn out within reason. I mean, was what we expected. Going into this next year, 2014, we had really good submoisture to drill wheat into. We have a really good wheat crop up and actually starting to come out of dormancy. We didn't have as much snow this winter like we normally do, but we have had some early rains in the fall. So we're going into a good start for our wheat crop this year.
And now talk to me a little bit about how important, you know, you guys are kind of on the cutting edge of precision agriculture in your neck of the woods. Tell me a little bit about how important that is.
You bet. Yuma County has actually been one of the first counties, progressive counties in the U.S. to actually take up precision agriculture. And so we've tried to take that on early as possible. In every aspect that we can, we've seen a huge benefit, both monetarily savings and then yield increase. Also with variable rate fertilizer has been a huge one, variable rate seeding on both irrigated and dry land, and then also variable rate irrigation with our pivot sprinklers. So because of our water situation, we need to conserve as much as possible. So we're in a no-till situation, dry land, and then also a minimum till, strip till situation, irrigated.
And you mentioned the snow, and you know, a lot of places across the Midwest were getting hammered with snow this year. Sometimes I think we forget in the wintertime how important that snowpack really is. Not such a good year for you this year.
You bet. And actually, you know, for us out on the plains, yeah, we didn't get as much snow, but the mountains are actually, they have been receiving quite a bit of snow, so we should receive a little bit of that water. Obviously, it's not direct the way we would like in rain, but you know, moisture, any little bit of moisture helps, so.
And I found it interesting, you know, out there in the plains country that you are, about how much rain do you get on an average year?
Our average rainfall will be 12 to 16 inches, and 16 inches is around that. That's a more of a good year.
Do you ever think about maybe if you live somewhere else and somebody else came out to where you are, how different your farming practices are?
Yeah, and you know, I've met a lot of farmers through conferences and things like this from the Midwest, Iowa. And everybody has a different situation, different struggles. You know, they have too much water. They tile, try to get it, keep it off the, you know, try to let it run off the ground. We terrace and use no-till situations to try to keep as much moisture on our ground as possible. You know, we're running into resistant weeds that a lot of guys aren't running into. Different kinds of resistant weeds than even different areas. You know, it'd be a crazy deal to swap shoes with some of them farmers, because you know we both wouldn't know what to do. So
Matt Miles and his family farm in southeastern Arkansas. They've had great success, and it's all in the family. His wife is just as involved on the farm and farming decisions as anyone. They've also got some award-winning acreage that they've been working with.
Matt, you have a really great story. How about, how many acres are you farming down in Arkansas?
We farm 6,300 acres.
And what are you growing down there? Tell me a little bit about your operation.
Primarily, we're in a corn and soybean rotation. In years past, we were mainly cotton. As grain prices went up, cotton prices went down. We switched to the grain. So predominantly corn and soybeans, depending on the market as to which one's the highest acreage and which one's the lowest acreage.
Now, you do things a little bit different than what probably my neighbors in Central Illinois do. You guys have an irrigation system. Tell me how that helps you guys out.
That's right. Without irrigation, our soybean yields would be 20% of what we make now. So that's something that's definitely a necessity. It's furrow irrigated, so the water runs from the high to the low, you know, basically down a row, which makes us have to use a wide row pattern on our soybeans and corn, you know, to be able to have ample room enough for the irrigation to get from one end of the field to the other.
Now, what were your growing conditions like last year? It was a crazy year across the board. How did it pan out for you?
It was actually the best growing season we've had. We had Central Illinois weather. Low nighttime temperatures, low daytime temperatures, gave the soybean a chance to respire and rest at night. So we had, with all the different things that we put in the crop, if you don't have the right weather, then your yield's going to be decreased. And we had awesome weather.
I really like the story about your family operation. Tell me a little bit about how long the family farm's been around.
Well, I'm a fourth-generation farmer. Well, my wife's a fourth-generation farmer. Her dad and my dad kind of farmed next to each other. The first time we went out on a date, I wasn't old enough to drive. So we've been together for a long time. We started our own operation in 1990. She's just as important in the operation as I am. She takes care of all the bookkeeping, record-keeping, payroll, and then I try to do the work outside. But now you will catch her on a tractor sweeping a grain bin just about as much as you will anyone else. Very family oriented. My son's 19. He's working in the operation, which is excitement for me. My oldest daughter's married to a farmer, so he's just starting his operation this year. So, you know, family's important to me, and I feel like that's one thing that makes us successful is the fact that there's two of us looking at that all the time, or three now with my son.
Well, yeah, that's a great story. Now, did I read somewhere that the family farm's kind of been around since the 20s?
Oh, yes. That particular field that we had under yield contest has been in my wife's family since the 1920s. And she's actually got a picture of like, I think there's like 20 or 30 of her family members that picked the first bale of cotton in 1950 in that exact same spot that we had the yield contest in. So it was kind of special to have. That's one reason I picked that field is it was in her family for so long, and it's a high-yielding field, and just kind of all the – It was just kind of neat having that heritage behind it and then being able to set the record on that particular field.
Well, tell me a little bit about that record. We haven't really touched on it yet, but did well for you.
It did very well. It was kind of surprising. You know, like I said, the weather was a big determining factor in the yield. But we basically just did everything that we thought we needed to do to make that field and our other fields successful. You know, the record's nice, but I'm probably more interested in a high yield across my whole farm than I am a particular plot that we do a yield contest on. But we're finding a lot of things that's working, mainly treating the soybean as we would treat our cotton or our corn, you know, just as important as any of the other crops. And the yield potential on a soybean, if you really give it everything it needs, seems to be unlimited.
Now, you know, family's really important. You've got the fifth generation coming up. How important is it to get out and interact with people that really don't know a whole lot about agriculture and need to maybe learn a little bit about all the hard work that goes into it?
I think it's huge. I think that's something that us as farmers and the agriculture community needs to continually get the word out about farming and, you know, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish, and the way we're trying to accomplish it. So it's important to me, and it's important to instill into my son, you know, because the agriculture community is actually shrinking. The land's not going anywhere, but the people that are farming, it's getting to be a smaller part of the population. Being able to explain to a person that's not rural, you know, what we're doing and how we're doing it is extremely important.
How important is precision agriculture on your land?
Precision agriculture is changing the future from yield maps to variable rate, you know, our variable rate seeding, variable rate fertilize. It's also good for the environment. I mean, you know, if you can put fertilize where it's needed and not put it where it's not needed, you know, that's always going to help the environment. So precision agriculture is a new thing. You know, 5 years ago I was looking at it and saying, man, this probably never happened in my lifetime. And now it's so important on our operation that my consultant, he's went into not just being a consultant in the soybeans, but taking care of data management too, which has given me all the tools I need to know what I'm doing right and wrong.
Along with the precision part, we kind of go back to the old style of doing things in your rotation. Tell me a little bit about how rotation plays in for you guys.
Well, rotation's important. We've figured out that, we're looking at a 7 to 10 bushel increase with beans behind corn. And the same thing with the chemical chemistries. We're fighting resistant pigweeds and mare's tails. So every time we can change that chemistry up into another crop, then we have a better chance of combating that actual weed. So rotation is a huge part of our operation.
Thank you so much. It's another edition of the Hick Chick Chat here on PrecisionPays.com.